Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, if you will, please. I want to say to Brother Hobbs and to the church that the conference has certainly been a blessing to me. It really has. I've been blessed by the fellowship, by the wonderful hospitality, and by the great messages that I have heard. And I believe that I'll be able to be a better preacher and pastor for having had this opportunity to fellowship with you brothers and sisters in Christ in this Bible conference. Pray for me. I am filling the place, I believe, that was given to Brother Aaron West. I was looking forward to seeing him. I've not seen him since he was a little boy. And I was looking forward to seeing him and hearing him preach. And the subject that was assigned him was the church's responsibility to the pastor. That's not exactly what I want to speak on. In fact, as I'm sure all of you preachers know, that as soon as you're asked to preach, it begins running through your mind, what, you know. Well, the first thing that I thought of was, well, I have this sermon on public worship. I'll preach that. And then in a little while I thought, no, I'll preach on the 23rd Psalm, my things in the 23rd Psalm. And then two or three other things come to mind, but then last night it seemed that the Lord settled me on this subject, and I trust that He'll bless it. And bless me as I preach it, and give unto you something that will be a blessing to you as I speak to you on the subject of what it's like to be a preacher and why I can't quit preaching. In these verses of Scripture, I'll read the first four verses of the fifth chapter of Hebrews. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now let us again meet our Master in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, oh how that I wish that I did know how to pray and to come into your divine presence. For I do know that I desire to come with an humble heart and a right spirit in a way that you would be pleased, for how we do desire to please you and yet know not how. But Heavenly Father, I come to thank you and praise you for your greatness, for your holiness, and for your blessings upon us, and especially in this conference, how that you have blessed your men as they have preached your word and blessed your word to our hearts as we've heard them proclaim it. And yet, Heavenly Father, I and each of my preacher brethren here would gladly and quickly acknowledge that we're just seed sowers and water boys, that every blessing must come from you, and that unless you bless us, we stand unblessed. And Heavenly Father, not only do we thank you for the effort and the input of the preachers in this conference, but we thank you for these brothers who are not preachers, and for their praying, and for their effort. And we thank and praise you for them, and for these dear ladies, and the things that they have done, the way that they have conducted it themselves, and the way that they have served you by serving your servants and others. We thank you and praise you for them. We thank you for the boys and girls, and for their presence, and for their attention, and for their attentiveness. And Heavenly Father, we know that all of these things you've blessed us with. Now as it comes this time for me to preach, help me, dear Lord, and may I stand in your might and power, and say that which would be pleasing in your sight. Forgive me of my sins and shortcomings. Strengthen me in all the ways wherein I'm weak. And use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the fourth verse, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. You who are not preachers, did you ever wonder, excuse me, what it's like to be a preacher? Well, I can tell you that it's like many other tasks in life in many respects, and yet it is so unlike anything else in the world. For instance, it's being loved and unloved. It's being wanted and unwanted. It's being understood and misunderstood. I had an experience just recently. It's like attending a wedding and a reception, and then rushing off to a funeral, and then leaving there and going to counsel with a young couple whose marriage is falling apart. Not long ago, I had that experience one Saturday at a radio broadcast. From there, I went to the home of some of our church members whose daughter was marrying one of our deacon's sons. And it was a very happy time. These children had grown up together and they had never dated anyone else so far as I know. And they had dated for a few years in high school and they were getting married and the families were so happy and had the wedding at 11 o'clock and then the noon meal was served there and all the time I had this other family who was grief-stricken because one of our elderly members had passed away and that funeral service was to be at 2 o'clock. And then after leaving that funeral service, after leaving the wedding where everyone was real happy and going for the funeral service and then leaving the cemetery and going to counsel with this young couple whose marriage was falling apart. The people at the wedding, they had very little concern about the people that were grief-stricken. The people that were grief-stricken at the loss of their loved one, the happy time that the people were having at the wedding meant absolutely nothing to them. But I'm telling you what it's like to be a preacher. The preacher goes from one of these to the other, and he must adjust to the situation just in a very short period of time. But I'll tell you what it does. It keeps you in touch with life, death, and all of the problems of both of them. It keeps you in touch. And as a pastor, you must be able to go from one situation to the other and trust God to bless you and use you and make you a blessing in every situation. And remember that you are God's representative in every one of these situations. You are God's mouthpiece in every one of these situations. Being a preacher, it's like talking to a drunken bum 1 minute and then counseling with a beauty queen in just a little while. All of these things are what it's like to be a preacher. It's walking through the doors of the hospital. And I did this not long ago. Walked through the doors of the hospital and walked down that clean corridor going to the rooms to make some visits. And thinking back over the years, how many times, all hours of the day and night, have I walked through these hospital doors and down this hall, and I wonder how much or how little good that I have really done in my hospital ministry. How many times that things like this come to our mind? Our ministry, how much or how little have I really helped in the things that I've done? It's picking up a man or a woman out of the gutter when no one else seems to care, when their life seems to be a total waste. Going to them and picking them up and telling them that God cares and that Christ died for sinners like them. For I believe that Christ died for all classes of men, women, boys, and girls. It's walking away from a new grave and wondering what that person that you just buried has discovered since they died. Brethren, I don't believe that we know everything about what's beyond death, even for the saved, much less for those that die without Christ. That's what it's like to be a preacher. It's offering hope when there seems to be none. It's long hours, and it's accepting the fact that you will always be inadequate for the task. You'll never be able to do everything that you feel like that you ought to do, much less what other people feel like that you ought to do. And I always tell young preachers that you may as well adjust as best you can to the fact that you're never going to be able to do everything that you think that you need to do in the ministry. And when you come to the end of the week, you're going to find that there were many things that you should have done that you didn't get around to do. And you think, well, I'll do them next week. But at the end of that week, there are going to be those things plus some other things that you needed to do. And so you're just going to have to adjust to the fact that you're going to live your life realizing that you are really not adequate for the task that God has given unto you. It's constantly studying the Word of God. Enjoying studying the Word of God, but feeling the weight of responsibility along with it, of studying the Word of God to be a better preacher for the glory of Him that called you to preach and for the edification of the people that he gave you to preach to. You know, the preacher, as it were, is in the middle. And he is obligated to God who called him. God said, here is the message. Go and feed my sheep. Go and preach the gospel to every creature in the world. He's obligated to God and he's obligated to the people to feed them. You know, he's the under-shepherd. And he has what the shepherd gave him to feed it to the sheep. And he's obligated on both sides. He's obligated to take all that the Lord gave him and give it to the Lord's people. It's preaching the word that your people need to hear. And many times the word that they need to hear is the word that they don't want to hear. But you're obligated to preach it to them, and listen, brethren, to preach it to them in love, because you love God and because you love the people. Don't ever get out your skin and knife after the people.
Amen.
Whatever you preach it to them in love. But it's rewarding, it's contentment that nothing else in the world can give to that man that's called to preach. It's rewarding. And church members, let me tell you something. There's nothing that is more rewarding to your pastor than when you can come to him and truthfully say, Pastor, you have taught me something from the Word of God. You have given me something from the Word of God. There's nothing that will bless him anymore than to know that you have learned something.
Amen.
From his teaching and from his preaching, because I'll tell you, that more than compensates for the heartaches and the sorrows that have at other times just overwhelmed his heart.
Amen.
So being a preacher is the highest calling that ever came to a mortal man. That's just briefly what it's like being a preacher. Now let me tell you why I can't quit. All of you know the verse that I'll give you. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Bench members, pastors would be maybe embarrassed to tell you how many times that the words of eyes of Jeremiah here have really run through their mind and their heart. When they have thought as Jeremiah, the people don't care, the people don't listen, the people don't heed, so I'll not speak anymore in his name. There are other things I can do, and I'll not speak anymore in his name. But they had the same experience of Jeremiah. But his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I was saved the first Sunday in September of 1955. Deep down in my heart, 2 or 3 weeks after I was saved, I knew the Lord called me to preach. But honestly, I saw no way that this country boy could preach. I didn't have the education, I didn't have the training for it, and I saw no way that I could preach. But 11 months from the day that I was saved, I announced my call to preach and preached my first sermon that night. The first Sunday night in August, 1956. For a little more than 29 years, I guess it is, I've tried to preach the Word of God. I've traveled up and down this country of ours. I've had lots of opportunities. I don't know how much preaching I've done. But I've traveled up and down this country of ours, and I've preached under many different circumstances. And I have had some great mountaintop experiences, but that's not all I've had. For I've had some very deep valley experiences also.
Amen.
And a few times I have thought about quitting, but I've always known that I never really could. Because, as Jeremiah said, His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I could not stay.
Amen.
I cannot quit preaching for these reasons. Number one, because of the calling of God. It's a personal call. A personal call. When God called me to preach, there wasn't anything to vote on. There wasn't anything for a committee to decide. There was no decision for anyone to make. It was a direct call. My parents were both living and they had nothing to do with it. My wife had nothing to do with it. I was a member of Landmark Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Arkansas, and they had nothing to do with it. It was a call from the Lord. And I can say, as Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for He counted me worthy, putting me into the ministry. Or He counted me faithful, I believe it says. Putting me into the ministry. It is a divine call. So the man that is called of God, he must preach. I have to preach whether I'm paid or not.
Amen.
In fact, I tell my people, you don't pay me to preach. You pay me so I am free to preach.
Amen.
But you don't pay me to preach. I have to preach whether I'm paid or not. I have to preach whether it's convenient or not. I have to preach whether I feel good or bad. I have to preach whether folks like it or not. I still have to preach. For as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And because it is a divine call of God, God's archenemy, Satan, is after the man of God every step that he takes. And he's trying to trip you up any way that he can. And he would like. And he rejoices when a God-called man stumps his toe and injures his ministry in some way by yielding to some temptation that will cause him to lose his testimony and maybe disqualify him from preaching the gospel. I read what Paul said, and because of time I'll not turn there and read it, I'll just refer to it. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul's prayer was that he might finish his ministry with joy. And he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That was the thing that bothered Paul's heart. Thank God that God sustained him, and he come to the end of his ministry, and he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. By the grace of God, we must live godly lives. For the calling of God demands that I cannot quit. And I cannot preach if I have an ungodly life. I cannot quit because of the condemnation of sinners. And God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I cannot quit because the cross of Christ has a claim on my life. When I see Him hanging on the cross, that was for me. Just as surely as if I were the only one, that was for me. And the cross of Christ has a claim on my life. Therefore, I must preach. Because of the cross of Christ, because of the calling of God, because of the cross of Christ, and because of the coming of Christ. He said, I will come again. I will come again. The same Jesus, Acts 1:11 says, that went away is going to come again in like manner as you've seen go. And somebody must tell the world that there's a better day coming for the saints of God. Somebody must warn the wicked. Brother Sam, I believe, preached last night of the day of God's wrath. And must tell the saved, as someone here has already preached, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There have been times that I've preached when I didn't feel like it. Been times that I've preached when it seemed no one listened. Been times that I've preached when it seemed like no one cared. But I can't quit preaching for these reasons. Let me give you this little poem in closing. I've dreamed many dreams that never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But I've realized enough of my dreams, thank God, to make me want to dream on. Amen. I've prayed many prayers when no answer came, though I waited patiently and long. But answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me keep praying on. I've trusted many a friend that failed and left me to weep alone. But I've found enough of my friends true blue to make me keep trusting on. I've sown many seed that fell by the way for the birds to feed upon. But I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to make me keep sowing on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without song. But I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me want to preach on.
Amen. Amen.